Okay, this morning we'll be in the last chapter of 1 Peter. It's been an enlightening book. In the second epistle we'll go into starting hopefully next week. But this morning will be 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being a lord over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, it's a little tiny chapter, but it's got some real kickers in it. Let's go back and look at it. Now, Peter's saying, the elders which are among you, I exhort. Who's he encouraging? The ones that are mature. That doesn't mean in age. It talks in spiritual growth. The ones that are spiritually grown. He said, I exhort you who am also an elder. So Peter's saying, I have grown up, and I recognize the rest of you that have grown up and become mature spiritually. He said, and I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He's saying, I was there on the day they crucified him. And also a partaker of glory that shall be revealed. And then he gives them an admonition, a commandment, whatever you want to call it. But he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, that's with you. Feed whatever flock God brings to you. Don't think that you get a choice on who you're going to feed. Don't worry about saying, well, the flock over in that town is better than the flock over in this town. You feed whoever God brings to you. Does that make sense to you? See, because if he's the chief shepherd and he chooses which flock you're over, then what have you got to complain about?
Isn't that what he called me one time?
Yes, it is. Feed my sheep.
I like how he tells him he should do it by example.
Absolutely. He said, feed the ones that are taking oversight, not by constraint or by force or by compulsion. See, there's a lot of people that force their way in because they want to be preachers. And anybody that wants to be a preacher just because they want notoriety got to be half insane, or maybe all the way. This word also means by force or by compulsion, two different ways. So don't try to force your way in, and don't let somebody force you into that issue. Now, we've all had the opportunity at some time or another, someone trying to bait you into, well, you come over here. I've had many offers. We'll give you a church. We'll pay you big money to take this over. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm not for sale. I'm not a hireling. See, if God puts you there, let God put you there. Let him move you where he wants you. When he's ready to use you, he'll use you, won't he? You've had your opportunities, haven't you? They've tried to bait you into things.
So
they can control you. And God didn't make any of us to be controlled. Leaders are not to be controlled. See, God doesn't control us in a way, a sense that some people think, well, you're just a zombie. No. God gave me his heart to think with. So when I make decisions, I don't say, okay, God, what do you want? I use the thought process he gave me and trained me in to think like him and make those decisions. And if I do that, if I have his thought process, when I go to think about a situation, what other answer could have come up with other than what he wants? That's why he's not afraid to give us the keys to the kingdom, true riches of the kingdom, to his sons that have matured. Not a problem, because he knows they'll think like him, they'll do the things the right way. And it's not by compulsion or force, it's because of our love for him. That's what you'll do. So if we wait upon him, we will renew our strength, won't we? But willingly, see, willingly. It's because God put it in your heart to do it. Not because you want to do it, not because grandma wants you to do it, or mom or dad or somebody else. It's because you know this is what God wants you to do. Not for filthy lucre, and that's money, but from what? Of a ready mind or a cheerfully and willingly mind, you know. A cheerful and willing mind. That's what he wants to be. So the only mind that would take on this task of working the gospel of God, which is contrary to religion, would have to be someone that God has inspired to do it. Because it's too controversial for someone to stand on their own and do it. If God isn't supporting you, if God doesn't call you and equip you, you're never going to make it. Just a fact of the way the kingdom works. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, see. Remember how many times have I told you, I don't have a badge? And there's been people came into this group and over the years that said, oh, I love this so much, this liberty we have, such freedom we have here. We can be ourselves and we can express ourselves and we can just grow so nicely, you know, here. And then 6 weeks later say, won't you make that person shut up? How come you let that person do that? And they had the liberty, but they don't want anybody else to have it because it just kind of stepped on their toes. And I said, well, you know, just a few months ago, I can remember you saying you love the liberty. If I have liberty for you, I have to have liberty for all, don't I? Can't play favorites. So what you have to do is learn to grow up. Simple as that. But not being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. See, you lead by example, not by words and threats and intimidation. And most of the church system, if you don't do what the preacher tells you, they will threaten you with excommunication. That's not God's way of doing anything. Did Jesus say, if you don't come to me, I'm going to cast you all away? He said, whoever comes to me, I'll never cast them away. And when the chief shepherd of all shall appear, or when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Now, there's a couple things wrong with this verse. First of all, where it says, you shall receive a crown. The word a here is the Greek word ho, which is a definite article. So what should it be? The crown. How many crowns do you think there are of glory?
One.
Only one. It's his. Okay? So when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. Now this thing is kind of funny. There's a flower. The word is amaranthinos. It's number 262 in the Strong's. And it represents a flower that does not fade away. And that's kind of what it's saying here. It says the glory that fades not away. But this word actually says it's a flower that, like when it wilts down, all you have to do is give it water and it'll stand back up again. You know how some plants are like that. You know, they can in the heat of the sun, they'll just fall down, look like they're almost dead, put water on them and stand right back up, just very quickly. Flower that doesn't fade, and if you add water to it, stands right back up. Revives it very quickly. And water is a symbol of what? The Word. Put the Word into us, and guess what? We'll stand right back up. Kind of like being born again, isn't it? Likewise, younger, submit yourselves to the elder, and, not yea, but and all be subject one to another. And all be subject one to another. And be clothed, or in that word clothed with, you know, the words clothed with, it literally speaks of a white cloth that is a badge of servitude. You know, the servants wore a certain color of clothing that let them know they were a slave. That was like a badge of honor for them being a servant. But it'd be clothed with humility. And you know, if you have a humble spirit about you, you think people don't see that badge of honor on you? They can tell when you're humble or not. Or if you're performing and like a dancing bear or a trained seal, they know that. But if it's really coming from your heart, they know that also. Because God does what? He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And what is grace? Divine influence in the heart of man and a reflection of that into your life. So he's going to give you something, that grace and mercy that you need. He's going to put it in there, and someone else is going to see it. It doesn't do any good if someone doesn't see it, because the grace that you that they can see in your life is what affects their life to change them. How do you think Stephen's life, with the grace and mercy he had, Saul, or who became Paul, saw it when he was being stoned and saw how he reacted, and that had an effect on his life that changed him? See, someone sees how you're mistreated and sees how you respond and react to the pressures of life. That's what changes someone else's life. They say, man, I want what that guy's got. I want what that person's got, because they can stand the pressure. I want to be able to handle the pressure. But to get that means you got to go through hell to get there. Tough lifestyle. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, in order that he, cross out the word may, that's an added word, in order that he exalt you in the set or proper time. It's the word kairos, 2540 in the Strong's. It's a set or proper time. So that he, in order that he exalt you in the set or proper time. The word may isn't there, that doubt word's added in by King James. Casting all of your anxieties, not care, but anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. See, cast all your anxieties on him. Doesn't it say in Philippians 4 and 6, my favorite verse, be anxious for nothing? That means don't carry in those anxieties, give them to God. Don't worry about it. He said he'd take care of them anyway. And on into verse 8, be sober. Now, we're not talking about leaving the wine alone. We're not talking about drinking all this heavy stuff, okay? It says, be calm and collected in spirit. The word sober means being calm and collected in spirit. Be vigilant, or watch. Be calm and collected in spirit and watch, because your adversary, the devil, the diabolos, which means false accuser, as a roaring lion, not a roaring lion, but as one. It's just a symbol, isn't it? Walks about seeking whom he may devour by telling lies, convincing you of the lie. If he can convince you to believe all those crazy thoughts in your head, he just devoured you, didn't he? That's all it is. Symbolism. Whom resist steadfast, or literally firmly, in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. Let me see what this book is. This little book. New American Standard. Who's got it? You got it over there? Read that New American Standard to me. 9.
But resist him firm in faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
Okay, let me get you to read that again so you can pick it up on the microphone so they can hear it. Go ahead.
But resist him firm in faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
Okay, so the word firmly in the faith. That talking about wavering and blown around by every wind of doctrine? Know what you're talking about. Confident people intimidate people. Hear me? Confident people intimidate people. They're not arrogant like everybody thinks they are. They're just, now some people are arrogant, I give you that. But confidence is misunderstood as arrogance by people who don't understand what they're talking about. And people who want to be right versus knowing the truth. I'm not interested in being right, but I know what is right. If I know what's right, I can be very confident about it, and it doesn't make any difference whether anybody thinks I'm right or not. I know what's right. See, I'm not thinking of, you know, people say, well, I think it's this. Well, I don't think, I know. If I've already went through my thought process, then I know what's going on. I've worked it out. And too many people discuss Scripture with opinions. And you know what opinions are and where they come from, and so I don't need all that. Opinions mean you're too lazy to get the work done. Okay, we were talking about this devil. No, we're down to 9. Whom resist firmly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, and doesn't he say give every man a measure of grace? Who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. After you have suffered a while, he shall what? Literally, it says make you perfect in the King James, but that's not what it says. No, the language says he will repair you or adjust you. Yes. He will readjust your structure. See? And see, that makes more sense to me. He repairs me. He puts me back to where I was before. That makes sense to me. That fits the pattern. We're going back to him where we were before the foundation of the world. See, we're going back to that story. We're being rebirthed, reborn, repaired. See? Beg your pardon?
Back to your Genesis mind.
Back to our Genesis mind, absolutely. And he'll establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Did it say you will do it for yourself? Everybody keeps laboring. And what's the old story about the Jewish people that were in bondage to Pharaoh? They made bricks for him. And even after they came out, they complained. They'd rather be back there eating cucumbers and making bricks for Pharaoh than walking in the desert free because somebody wasn't taking care of them the way they thought they should have been taken care of. He gave them manna from heaven and they complained about something. They wanted meat, you know. So he brought them quails, and while the flesh was still in their teeth, between their teeth, they were complaining about that. Isn't that humanity? Never satisfied? Okay, verse 11. To him be glory and dominion into the age of ages. By Silvanus, or Silas, the faithful brother to you, not A again, it's Ho, the definite article, the faithful brother to you, as I suppose, I have written briefly in exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. He's saying all these things, God giving you the grace to go through all these hard tests, these fiery trials that come upon you. See, that is the grace of God wherein you stand. That God's going to let you go through these things so that you can learn from them. The ones, not the church, the word church isn't even in there. It's an added word. You can see it's italicized. It should say the ones in Babylon, in confusion, chosen together with salute you, and so does Marcus, his name means defense, my son. So it's saying the ones in Babylon, and that's confusion, isn't it? The ones in confusion was chosen together with you, they salute you, and so does Marcus, my son. He says, greet one another with a kiss of love, peace to you all that are where? In Christ. Amen. He's saying peace to all those that's in Christ. See, everybody that's not in Christ, how could they have peace? Can they? Nope. They can temporarily have a lull in the storm, but the storms are going to return. Having Christ in you, which everyone on the face of the earth has Christ in them, but they don't know it, most of them, and they don't act like it, surely. But when you are in Christ, that means you're the insignificant one here. He's the one in front. He's one carrying the load. And when we get to that point, we don't have to worry about anything. See, we can just be the servant we've been called to be. And when you humble yourself, what will he do? He'll exalt you in due time. His set or proper time, right? So it's not a hard thing. We have to take this to heart. If this book is just a story, if it's just something to do on Sunday morning, is it going to help you any? We have to understand that this is a change in our life. The gospel has to change the way I think. I can't keep thinking the way I thought 10 years ago, 10 days ago, 10 hours ago, 10 minutes ago. What I've heard today from the Spirit of God should be changing my life, that from this step forward, right now, this instant, that something changed in my life. I understand something a little differently. Now, I don't mean I'm finished. It means I've changed something. Now, when I change this piece, it's going to make me look at all the other pieces again and realize, we're not in sync now. There's some more things out there that need to be changed. And it encourages you to go on.
I mean, you know, that would be no different than like those inspirational books or speakers. You can get all spun up and gung-ho. You don't take the steps and follow.
It means nothing.
You'll never.
Absolutely. You'll never accomplish it. Even the inspirational people, which they're not as adamant about being the responsibility on yourself as I am, and I'm clear about it, you got to do it for yourself. If I could do it, it'd already be done. But Jesus did everything he could do for us, and he said it's finished. Now it's up to you to walk it out. And some of the speakers do say that, the inspirational speakers. Keep coming back to them and buying from them. But I'm not selling anything, so I can tell you straight up, I want you to grow. I want you to change. But you've got to do it yourself. I cannot do it for you. If I could, I wouldn't, because it wouldn't do you any good. I would just be enabling you to be continuing in a life of error and confusion. I want you to learn for yourself. See, I'm trying to work myself out of a job, which I know will never happen the rest of my life, because there's enough people out here that's always going to be screwed up that need help. So that's not a problem. I know I'll be doing it till the day I die. When that happens, fine. That's okay. But I'll know I'll do the best I can until I get there. That's all I can do. Any questions? Comment?